Childhood trauma doesn't always scream. Sometimes it whispers through silence, self-doubt, anger, addiction, or a life that quietly goes off course. For many people, trauma becomes a story that they'll never tell, not because it didn't hurt, but because they didn't feel safe enough to speak. Now, today's conversation is all about what happens when someone chooses to break that silence and how healing can rebuild a life that once felt broken beyond repair. If this episode resonates with you, I want you to go to stacychalemi.com, subscribe to our podcast. If you know somebody who needs to know their past does not define them for their future, then this is the episode that you have to listen to and also subscribe to so you hear more things that will help you in your future. Now, I'm really excited today because our guest is Laura Johnson, founder of Motivational Wings. He has a story that includes childhood trauma, incarceration, deep personal transformation, and faith. And today, he's going to share this with us. He truly looks to heal, rebuild, and claim your identity after life tries to break you. And he's here to show you how. So I'm really excited, Laura, to have you on the show today. And,
Having me
tell.
on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Tell everybody a little about yourself and who you are and why you're here.
A little bit about me. I was born in upstate, lived in New York. My childhood was split between Newburgh, Doesburg, and Brooklyn, New York. I am my mother's only son. I have two siblings, two sisters. And most of my life, I grew up in Goldsboro, North Carolina. But how my story started is I was 7 years old. Like, I was a 7-year-old kid. When I tell you I was a rambunctious little kid, I looked at the world through a different lens of happiness, being vulnerable. I grew up old school. Like, I grew up with Stretch Armstrongs. I was a big John Wayne fan, so I loved all his army movies. I was, so infatuated with it. At the time when I was 7 years old, I always wanted to be a firefighter. My mother, she was definitely the queen of snacks. She didn't say no to anything. Like, when Reggie Jackson was big for the New York Yankee, I had his helmet, bat, candy bars. I had all the cereals. Like, I had an amazing childhood. And if you grew up in New York, I don't care if it's upstate New York, Brooklyn, Manhattan, it's always a stoop that you could sit on. It was always a street that you could play on. And it was always we call them Charlie pumps. The fire hydrant was on all the time during the summer. We'll get in there and play in the water. We'll play red light, green light. That was my childhood. And that is the only thing that I can hold on today that was perfect to me, is my childhood all the way up until I was 7 years old. Because when I turned 7 years old, that is when my life changed. My life totally changed. And it changed one morning. I looked at Space Ghost. I was going outside to hang out with one of my friends, and I was just hanging out like any other kid on a normal day. And my sister, best friend, uncle, he asked me to go into his basement, and he asked me, could I come help him move some furniture? And he promised me some cookies. But his promise of giving me some cookies for helping him move some furniture around in his basement was a trap for him to sexually abuse me. And when I tell you, that feeling of at that time was, I was just confused. And even though my mind was so underdeveloped to process what was going on, I knew it was wrong. And I just felt so disgusted inside, like, 'cause the guy, he threatened me if I tell anyone. And I can remember leaving out of that house and walking to my house, which was next door to his. It seemed like it was a long walk, man. And at that time, my mother was still making sure I was clean. She would wash me, and in my mind, I'm thinking, like, listen, I hope she doesn't see anything, or she'll be mad if I tell her what happened. So I suppressed all that information within me for like 40 years. I didn't tell anybody what happened to me. And when I tell you, the life experiences that I had moving forward was just a roller coaster ride. I know from that time that happened, it changed my view of the world of being vulnerable. Because I went from a happy-go-lucky kid to a kid that was afraid. And I can remember my mother like, why you don't want to go out and play anymore without me? I just don't want to go outside and play unless you are with me. And my cousins, they live maybe probably like 2 miles away from where I lived at the time. And my sister and I will walk there all the time, and we'll walk back. And sometimes I'll walk back by myself. But when it happened, when I would go to my cousin's house and my sister didn't want to stay later, I didn't want to go back by myself. My sister was like, "You have made this walk a million times. Why you don't want to walk by yourself?" But I couldn't tell her that. But I was like, "Nah, I'll wait for you to walk back because I wanted to feel protected." So, and then I noticed like, it's like when you a little kid, you're not in control of your emotions, what's going inside of you. You're not strong enough to communicate that with someone. So I remember me always acting out in school, like just being so aggressive because that anger was just still inside of me, acting out in school, getting kicked out of school all the time, my mother coming up there, signing me back in school after, a week or two of suspension, and after she bring me back, I get suspended the same day. So my life has been a roller coaster ride, like from that trauma, from being incarcerated, from this is the wild side of me back then, dealing with that trauma, not knowing how to unpack all the hurt that I had inside. It pushed me into the streets of Brooklyn, where I would sell drugs. It also pushed me in the streets of Goldsboro, North Carolina, where I would sell drugs. And it was just one defining moment where my first child was about to be born, and my friends and I got together to get a rental car. And when it was time for me to get the rental car, these guys didn't do what they agreed upon doing, to pay the extra money for me to keep the rental car, for me to go to New York to, see my newborn son. And at that moment, I didn't know how to direct that anger, so I ended up robbing five guys that had nothing to do with what was going on inside of me. And from me robbing these guys, it landed me in jail. I ended up escaping out of jail, staying on the run for like 3 years. And when they caught me, they put me in a jail cell, and I had nowhere else to run. And I had to confront, my problems, and I had to confront my trauma, and I had to realize that all these things that you're going through, you can't continue to beat yourself up about it. What
Right.
happened to you, no child should have ever experienced. And you have to get past that. You have to just say, it wasn't my fault. A horrible person committed a horrible act. Now you have to move on with your life. And I can remember sitting at a visitation table and my mother coming to visit me. And it was her first time visiting, seeing me, like in like 3.5 years, because I went on the run for a long time. And I can remember her not looking at me. I'm sitting there trying to look at her, but she's turning her face and she couldn't look me eye to eye. And I'm her baby, And I know my mother because we are real close, and she just wouldn't look at me for any reason. And I had to like make her look at me and be like, "Listen, Mom, I'm okay. No one's doing anything to me. I'm gonna make right on this. I apologize for putting you through all this hurt and giving you all this heartache over these last 4 years. I'm gonna make it right." And that was the defining moment of my life. I like, when I get out of here, I have to uphold the promise I made to my mother. So while I was in that prison, while I was locked up in prison, I made a, a strong effort that I'm gonna utilize everything that this system has to give to me. And I got my GED. I got my electrical wiring certificate, which I turned into electrical contracting license. And that's why I'm a licensed electrician now. And I took a whole bunch of courses, and I took human relations courses. And when I came home, I hit the ground running. My family and I moved out here to Arizona. And I ended up working for this company. It's a government contracting company. And the owner, him and his nephew, they also, the owner, he's passed away now. May he rest in peace. But his nephew is still living. They took a liking to me. And I remember one day I was talking to the owner of the company, and I was trying to tell him my past, and he just shut me down. Like, I don't care anything about your past. Only thing that I care about is that you show up every day and you give your best. That's all I care about. And that was like a pivotal point in my life as well, that paradigm shift. I'm like, okay, this guy is serious. He don't care about my past. He just want me to be a productive young man and just be serious about my work and show up every day. And that turned the light on in my head, and I went to work. I started off at the bottom as I was building crates for at his company, and then they saw my hard work. They put me in charge of the maintenance manager, and then I just elevated it in the company, and I retired from that company like 18 years later. And all the education they paid for, I took all of that and I bought it into my two companies, which I have a remodeling company and I have a electrical service company. So that's just like a sneak peek into my life of how the trauma happened, where it landed me to, and giving me the silver lining at the end. But it's still a lot of stuff that you can read in the book to see like all my triggers and how did I deal with the triggers, back then through anger, and how do I deal with my triggers now, as far as the good parts of my life. So that's a
Wow.
little brief, yes.
Now, one of the most powerful things you talk about is silence, how trauma often goes unspoken. What does trauma silence do to a person internally? And how did that silence shape your decisions for healing, how it began?
What silence does for people? I think, and I think that silence kills men. And vulnerability only frees them. It frees their spirit by being vulnerable. I know it freed me. I think that society has done a horrible job with confusing vulnerability as a weakness, when in all actuality, vulnerability is like one of the highest forms of courage. And what I'm working at now is trying to change the cultural narrative that surround men's sexual abuse and getting people to look at it in a different way. Because also society, they have a hard time with separating the child from the man. Because when you sit there and you see a grown man or a grown woman trying to be vulnerable about what happens to them, and then someone tries to put them down, you're only punishing the child that couldn't speak for himself. So, what I'm trying to do is just change the culture narrative around trauma, child sexual trauma, period, and stop getting society to look at it as a confusing it as a weakness, and start looking at it as a act of being courage, being courageous.
Right. Now, incarceration can strip someone of identity, but for many, it also became a turning point. How did that chapter of your life force you to confront who you are and who you didn't want to be anymore?
It made me confront who I was because I couldn't no longer run. Like when I was outside and some trauma bothered me, I didn't have to be around anybody. I could go hide, drive to New York or, find other things to put my anger into. But when you're in prison, it's a punishment for everything you do. Like you act out, fight somebody, they put you in solitary confinement for 30 days. So I couldn't run from it anymore, and I had to make a conscious effort to want to grow, like mentally, psychologically, and socially as well. I had to grow, and one of those growing points is that I looked at that my past only explains me. That's all it does, but it doesn't define me. And I
Right.
said, okay, people are already going to shut me out when I come home. Oh, he's an ex-felon. He committed all these armed robberies. Yeah, this only explaining my past, but everything that I'm gonna get in here is gonna define my future. So when I stepped out, like I was telling you a minute ago, when I stepped outside of that jail cell and looking my mother in the eyes and making a promise to her, that was the shift. Like, I'm coming out here and I'm gonna do right, no matter what anyone says about my past. It just explained me, but I'm gonna be the one that put the finishing touches on my life, and that's by me moving forward.
Now, healing is rarely instant. Like, it's a series of decisions. What were the first real moment or practices or realizations that helped you begin transforming your life from the inside out?
It's going outside. I think when I got married for the second time, I think that really transformed me from the inside out, because my wife just didn't understand me, and she forced me to go seek help. And the beauty in that is, she was like, sometimes you drift in and out, and I can see you change. And she said, I want to go to counseling for you, but I want to go to counseling to better understand you, right? And I said, and I was sitting there thinking, like, wow, this woman really cares about me, right? She really, really cares about me. Like, she wants to go to counseling to learn about my trauma so she can learn how to adapt, be aware, change, and understand her purpose in it, and try to find a purpose in it, but work around when I'm having my moments. And I was like, man, this is a beautiful individual. I said, I need to change. I need to start changing. So now I had to bring that wall down. And I had to start listening to her, like, even with my grandkids now. She's like, listen, there was one part of your life where you had to work hard, you had to provide for your family. But she's like, listen, when you with us, you have to be present. When you with your grandkids, you have to be present. And that, her showing enough love towards me to want to go to counseling to understand me, made me change a lot about me inside out, because I knew that I probably would never ever get a woman like that again, that would stoop to the level so much, stoop to my level so much to bring me up, because she loved me that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, faith plays a central role in your story, not an escape, but as a foundation. Like, how did faith help you move from shame and anger into forgiveness and accountability and purpose?
I think faith changed me and made me become accountable when I figured out that God doesn't place no burden on anyone that they can't bear the burden. When I figured out that He created me to carry this burden, become a vessel, so that I can be vulnerable and show the world that, listen, if I'm a black guy, or I'm a man, period, and I could tell you about some horrific thing that happened to me, even though I come from the streets and I have no street credibility, but I'm putting all my chips in the middle of the table, like, this is what happened to me.
Right. Now, for
change
someone,
people's lives.
go ahead, finish.
No, go ahead.
No, finish what you were going to say.
No, just realizing that, just realizing that I'm just a vessel for God. I had to realize that everything that he put me through was for his purpose. And then I also had to realize, for the longest time I would think that everything was about me. And I realized that it's not about me. It's about me helping others. It was never intended for it to be about me. It was intended for me to help others.
I love that. I love that. Now, for someone listening right now who carries childhood trauma, make quietly, maybe quietly, what are a few real actionable steps that they can take to begin their own healing journey?
Talk to someone. Talk to someone. If you have like, I say talk to someone. Find you something that you can give your time to. If you don't have a dog, I mean, my dogs are amazing to me. I have five dogs, but when I tell you, they are so in tune to me. Like, they can feel when I'm down. They'll come over there and they'll hug me. They'll lick on me. You just have to you have to find something that's gonna offset those foggy moments that you have, because everybody have them when they down. And sometimes you be sad for no reason, and you don't even know why you are sad, but that comes from your trauma. It's processing something that you're not connected to that happened in the past, and it make you sad. And you have to find something to keep you busy. With me, I stay busy with my hands. I'm always working to remodel homes and kitchens. I'm always busy doing electrical work, and I'm always around my grandkids and my family. So you have to have somebody there around you that understand you, and that loves you. You have to, I'll tell anybody, get your support system.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so many people believe that what they are, like what happened to them, that defines them. What would you say to someone who feels defined by their past and yet can't see a future beyond it?
Like I said, your past only explains you. It doesn't define you. You are what God created you to be, and that's someone special. Your past is never going to define, never, def never going to define you. This is what I do. I can't speak for anyone else. I know when I go back to 7 years old, the things that I was in love with back then, when I was just innocent and vulnerable to the world, are basically the same things that I love right now today. And I would tell people, just try to go back to your past and connect with those things that you loved the most as a kid, and try to pull that into your life now, because if it made you happy back then, it can definitely make you happy right now.
Oh, I agree. That inner child, for sure. Now,
Exactly.
lawyer, what stands out to me the most is that your story isn't about perfection. It's about responsibility. It's about healing and choosing transformation. You're living proof that trauma doesn't have to get the final word. Growth does. So if there's one truth that you want listeners to carry with them after this conversation, what would that be?
That they are not alone, that you are not alone. Don't stay silent, because it's like when you stay silent, we basically let the abuser get away with things, and we have to stand for something. So be courageous, be vulnerable, and you're not alone. I tell you to connect with other people just like you, that's trying to change and advocate for the smaller people, and even the adults. So yeah, advocate. You are not alone. You are brave. You are courageous. You are the person that you always wanted to be. And don't let the person that has abused you dictate your life, because you are the one that can write the ending to it.
100%. Now, you came out with a book. Can you tell us a little about the book, the title, and what it's about, and where they can find it?
You could I grab my book right now if you can see it. This book is called My Pain, is my identity. And if you look at this book, if you look at it, that house is where the incident happened, and that's the little boy with the cookies. So when I designed this book, I designed it with the intent where you can be able to see the real purpose of the book. So this book right here, My Pain and My Identity, is a memoir about my whole life of me going through the trauma, all the things the trauma put me into, how I pulled myself out of the trauma, and how I got to the silver lining of my life. And this book can be found on Amazon, Google Play, Audio, Barnes and Noble. You can get this book everywhere. And if you want to go to my website, Lawyer Johnson MotivationalWings.com, you can also purchase this book off my website. You just pay $20. I'll autograph the book for you and ship it to you.
I love it. I love it. I got chills when you said that, when you were explaining the cover of your book. It's pretty powerful. I must say, it's pretty powerful. Do you have any services or anything that you offer for people, or can people contact you if they
They could
want to?
contact me. They had to just understand that I'm not, a doctor or anything like that. So, only thing I can tell you what I know, what I have done in my past and what I'm doing now. They can contact me. If you want to email me, you can email me at lawyerjohnson2006@yahoo.com. I'll respond to it, but understand I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counselor. I can only give you things from my experience.
I think that's wonderful. Now, are you also on the social networks? Can people find you on the social
Yes,
networks?
you can find me on TikTok at Lawyer Johnson Official. You can find me on Facebook, Lawyer Johnson 2006. You can find me on Instagram at Lawyer Johnson 2006. So you can find me on all those social media. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, lawyer. I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your story. And the most thing that I love about it is that, you went through a point in your life, that really was a crisis, not an obstacle in your life that really took a toll on you, and you didn't let it get you down. You overcame that obstacle and you rose above the chaos. And now, you went through a lot of obstacles along the way in your journey in life, but you overcame each and every one of them. That shows your resilience. It shows your strength. And you had that hope that you were gonna be a better person, that better things are gonna happen, and it did. And now here you are now on a podcast sharing your story with others, and you have a you're an author, and you've written a book that shares your story and shares your tools and techniques and strategies on how to overcome trauma, because a lot of times people don't like to share their trauma with other people. It's very hard for people to open up and to share, what's going on in their life. And, some people have shame, some people are embarrassed, some people are scared to share it. Some people don't want, they in this stigmatized world, they don't want to be judged or looked at any differently. So, they're afraid to, open up to others. But you passed that stage, and now you opened up, and you're helping millions of people. And I have to commend you for that. I really, 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 commend you for your efforts. You really, did a 360 in your life, and now you're helping so many people overcome their trauma in their life. So, I want to say kudos to you, and you're a wonderful individual, and I'm really proud to have you on our show. And thank you so much for being here and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're so welcome. And you have a great day.
You as well.